Science on the march. Men have searched the earth, the air, even the sun and stars in their never-ending quest for knowledge. And now in this educational feature, the broadcasters, Student Radio Dramatic Group, bring you the wonders of that unique establishment, the Smithsonian Institution, dedicated to the increase and diffusion of knowledge. And now for the story of rockets.
My, it's grand out here on the porch, isn't it, Will? I said, it's grand out here, isn't it, Will?
Yes, it is, dear.
William Hope, do you know I haven't been able to get more than two words out of you all night?
Oh, I'm sorry, dear. I really didn't...
Come on. What is it? Come on. You've got something on your mind.
Well, look. Oh, well, I suppose I shouldn't worry about him, but...
Who, for heaven's sake?
Charlie.
Charlie? You mean our Charlie?
Yes.
But why? What's the matter with him?
Well, haven't you noticed anything strange about him lately?
I don't know what you mean. Strange?
I mean the way he's been acting. Those ideas he's gotten into his head lately.
Ideas? Will, what in heaven's name are you talking about? What ideas?
Well, this astronomy business. Didn't you notice the way he was acting at the supper table tonight?
Yes, but... Oh, he's always getting some silly notion into his head.
But it isn't natural for a 14-year-old kid to act that way. He doesn't talk. The only time he does say anything, it's about the telescope he wants. He's been putting on that deep thinker act for 2 weeks now.
Now that you speak of it, I have noticed something peculiar about him. He asked me the other day for some money to buy a book on, astronomy, he said.
His whole room is cluttered up with magazines and books on the planets and rocket flight. Well, that's college stuff. That isn't like a 14-year-old kid to go for that stuff.
Oh, but maybe... Oh, it's just a notion. It'll pass off.
But he's getting worse every day. He won't have anything to do with the kids in the neighborhood. He never plays baseball anymore. Why, he's even forgotten that little girlfriend of his. Her name's Jessica.
Oh, I'm so used to his whims, I haven't paid much attention to it. Seriously, I mean. He's always putting on some pose. Last year, he wanted to be a big league ball player. And that's all we heard from him. You remember.
I know, but that's natural for a kid. This astronomy business isn't. In his ideas about rocket flight, well...
You don't suppose he's ill?
I don't know. I've never heard of a 14-year-old boy with ideas like he has. It just isn't natural.
Will, do you suppose there's something wrong with him?
I never acted like that when I was his age. Do you know what he said to me yesterday?
What?
Well, I asked him if he felt all right, and he just looked at me for a minute and said, Dad, did you ever stop to think of the insignificance of human ailments when compared to the system which binds worlds and suns together?
Did he say that?
Yes, and don't laugh. I don't think it's anything to laugh about.
Oh, you should have asked him what book he read that in.
There you go, dear. This is serious. I'm his father. I know boys, and that isn't natural, that kind of talk.
Oh, he'll forget it.
If it was an ordinary whim, I'd say yes. But this astronomy and all this business about flying to the planets in a rocket.
Heavens. You know, you've got me thinking there's something wrong with him.
I just can't keep letting him go on like this.
Well, what are you going to do?
I've already done it.
You didn't buy him a telescope?
No, I called somebody today.
A doctor?
No, Stephen Taylor.
Stephen Taylor? Stephen Taylor? Good Lord, Will. Well, that's adding fuel to the fire. Stephen's an astronomer.
That's right. He's teaching at my old school.
But why? Why him? What can he do?
I talked to him today. Told him about Charlie.
But what can he do?
I don't know. He said he had an idea. He's coming over tonight.
I just wonder what he thinks he can do.
He didn't have a chance to tell me much over the phone, but, well, when he comes...
Will, here he comes up the walk now. And me with this old dress on. I'm going to change. I'll be right.
Hello, Stephen.
Hello, Will.
Come on up. How are you?
Pretty good. Where's Mary?
Well, she just ran in to change her dress. Won't you sit down?
How is everything, Will?
Oh, fine. Fine except for, well...
Yes. I've been thinking about him all day.
What do you think?
Well, I don't know. I'll admit it's very odd for a boy of Charlie's age to be...
Interested in anything like astronomy? Yes. That's what I thought. I really think it's going to do something to the kid.
Where is he now?
Upstairs, I think. You want me to call him?
Just a minute. Look, before I talk to him, perhaps the boy has a phenomenal bent towards the subject.
Have you ever heard of such a thing?
No, but if he has, it would be foolish to... Well, we'll see. We'll see. Call him down here, why don't you?
Charlie! Oh, Charlie!
Calling you, Dad?
Yes, come down here for a moment, will you? Well, I'll leave you two alone when he gets here, Steve. If the boy has a bent towards that sort of thing, he'll know. If that's what he wants, I'll try to help him, but still...
Well, I'm not a child psychologist, but I'll try to see why he's interested in such a thing.
You wanted to see me, Dad?
Yes, you remember Stephen Taylor, don't you?
Yes, yes, I do. How do you do, Mr. Taylor? A fellow astronomer, I believe.
How are you, Charlie?
Well, pretty well, thanks. A little tired, of course.
Tired? What have you been doing to make you tired?
My work. You should know how exhausting these astronomical things can be at times, Mr. Taylor.
Yes, I know.
I've been anxious to meet someone engaged in my field of work, Mr. Taylor. Mother and Dad just don't understand astronomy, I'm afraid.
Now listen, Charlie.
I've been trying to explain to Dad that a fellow just can't become an astronomer without a telescope. The true wonders of the heavens, well, they just can't be seen without a telescope. Isn't that so, Mr. Taylor?
Oh, yes. Yes,
well,
of course.
Well, I'll leave you two astronomers alone. I suppose you have lots to talk about. I'll be inside if you need me.
Fine fellow, Dad. I wish he appreciated some of the finer things, though.
You mean astronomy, of course.
Yeah. You know, there's a subject, Mr. Taylor. But, of course, I don't have to tell you.
Oh, definitely not. Here, is this yours?
Oh, yes, my old baseball glove.
It looks almost new.
Well, I mean old in the sense that I have no use for it anymore. Not since I've gotten older. My studies, you know.
Oh, of course, of course.
Tell me, Mr. Taylor, what do you think of the future of interplanetary rocket transportation?
Well, to tell you the truth, Charlie, I haven't given its future much thought.
Do you mean to say, sir, you haven't followed the development of rocket flights? Why, rockets are just around the corner. Why, I honestly believe we'll be able to fly to Mars in a few years.
Really? On what do you base your assumption, Charlie?
Haven't you read Gaylord's works in this week's Wonder magazine? Well, I never miss him.
Gaylord? What is he, an astronomer?
Well, not exactly. He writes stories about rocket flights for the Wonder Stories magazine.
Fiction?
Yes, but he knows what he's talking about, I'm sure.
This Gaylord, has he experimented with rockets at all?
I don't know. He writes a lot about them, though. Oh, and they're exciting, too.
I'm afraid Mr. Gaylord's rockets are just a product of his imagination, Charlie. They haven't done much with rockets, you know.
But they will. You know that.
Perhaps. But there are lots of difficulties to be overcome yet. You know, of course, how far Mars is from the Earth.
Well, let's see. I think
28 million miles away. That means you'd have to have a vehicle different from anything on Earth to fly that distance.
Oh, well, I know that, Mr. Taylor.
Well, just think, Charlie. Mars, 28 million miles from the Earth. Think how much fuel a rocket would have to carry to fly that distance.
Pretty much, I guess.
More than any rocket they've built would be able to carry.
But maybe if they got up enough speed, the fuel wouldn't run out.
Well, how fast do these imaginary rockets of Gaylord's go?
Oh, let's see, about 5 or 6,000 miles an hour?
5 or 6...
Well, what's the matter? What's the matter, Mr. Taylor? Can't a rocket go that fast?
Do you know how fast the fastest rocket that's been built can fly?
Well, no, I don't.
800 miles an hour. And that was under ideal conditions.
Well, but how come? In the Wonder Stories magazine, they have them going, even 10,000 miles an hour.
I'm afraid that their rockets are just imaginary things, Charlie. Man has never made anything that would fly that fast.
You don't mean that they just make up all that stuff.
That's right. You see, Charlie, one great difficulty in the way of successful flights to the planets is the lack of a sufficiently powerful but very light explosive to provide the motive power for such a ship. So far, they have no such fuel.
Well, they're working on some chemical, aren't they? A powder or something?
Yes. But you must realize That chemical would have to be hundreds of times as powerful as gunpowder, for instance. They'd have to be able to carry enough in the rocket to last them for months, maybe.
Months?
Of course. Even if they built a rocket that could go 10,000 miles an hour, we'll say, think how long it would take them to fly the 28 million miles to Mars. 114 days. And that's being very optimistic about the chances of not having something go wrong.
Well, they sure couldn't run into anything way up there. That's one thing that's certain.
Well, maybe not. But what if you were up in a rocket 10 million miles from the Earth and your fuel ran out?
The idea, I thought, was to carry enough so it won't run out.
Exactly. But there's no fuel yet invented which is powerful enough and yet which is small enough in body to enable them to make enough to fly them that far.
Well, Mr. Taylor, just how far have they flown in rockets so far?
They haven't. The only rockets ever built are miniature things.
Well, do you mean to tell me that nobody's ever flown in a rocket?
No. Why, rockets aren't even in their infancy. The practical rocket hasn't been born yet. You see, this rocket idea embraces so many things. Chemistry, astronomy, physics, mathematics. It takes a lot of money and lots of time.
Well, then you think it'll be quite a while before anybody flies to the moon or any of the planets or any place like that, huh?
I doubt if it'll happen in our lifetime, Charlie. Theory is all rocket students have to work with now.
But, oh, I bet that'll all be worked out in time. Now, Gaylord, in this Wonder magazine, says...
Well, look, Charlie, let's forget Gaylord for a while. I know perfectly well you're too smart to be taken in by any wild dreams he might have about rockets. We astronomers aren't dreamers, you know.
Well, perhaps you're right, Mr. Taylor. Of course, his wild ideas, well, they didn't fool me for a minute.
Good for you. I suppose, though, you've read Goddard's works on rocket flight.
Goddard? Well, I've got a couple of his books, but I've never gotten around to reading them yet.
They are a little difficult to comprehend, I'll admit.
Oh, it isn't that. No, it isn't that. I could understand them if I took the time. What are you laughing at, Mr. Taylor?
Oh, I was just thinking of something funny that happened today. But as I was saying, if you're interested in rockets, you should read Goddard. He outlines all the difficulties of rocket flight. The Smithsonian Institution has published one or two of his discourses.
Yes, I'll read them sometime.
Of course, you'll have to take 4 or 5 years of chemistry and a few years of higher mathematics, but that won't be so hard, especially if one is as determined as you, Charlie.
Sure. But when I make my first rocket flight, people will sit up and take notice, won't they?
Well, that's just what I was going to mention. You see, you would be a pioneer, just like Goddard. He realizes that probably he'll never fly a rocket. And you'd have to expect the same thing. But you're an astronomer, and you know all that. But you could experiment. And your great-grandchildren might fly in rockets someday.
Yeah, that's right. Of course, I didn't think it would be that far off, but... Oh, well, if I'm going to be a pioneer, I'll just have to expect those things, I guess.
Well, there isn't such an awful lot of ground to cover. Of course, you'll have to discover a proper rocket fuel. Then, of course, a light but exceedingly strong structural material. And, let me see. Oh, yes, you'll have to carry on extensive studies with your rockets to see how it acts in a vacuum.
In a vacuum? You mean a place with no air in it?
Of course. I guess you've forgotten that when you get beyond the Earth's atmosphere, there are only about one atom of air to every million or 2 millions of square miles.
Oh, yeah, I learned about that. I'd forgotten it.
As a matter of fact, that won't be so difficult, though. Say your rocket fuel is a gas being shot out behind your rocket. It's been proven that the discharge of gas into a vacuum has greater pushing power than the discharge of gas into air.
But Mr. Taylor, just what does the gas push again?
Well, that involves a little mathematical computation, but you'll learn all that.
Oh, sure. Gee, to think I paid a whole dime for that Wonder Stories magazine and they didn't even know what they were talking about.
You see, that's fiction, Charlie. They don't take into consideration all the difficulties of flying a ship through millions of miles of space. But you know all that, so you'll be prepared when you start your experiments.
Yes, I will.
I'm not discouraging you, am I, Charlie?